W266DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Biden says at his direction, U.S. military forces together with the U.K. and with support from Australia, Bahrain, Canada, and the Netherlands have successfully conducted strikes against a number of targets in Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen. It comes after more than two dozen Houthi attacks on shipping vessels. CBS's David Martin at the Pentagon.
The question now, of course, is going to be whether these attacks succeed in convincing the Houthis to call off their attacks on commercial shipping in the Red Sea, or whether it just eggs them on and inspires them to up the ante.
Iran has seized an oil tanker off the coast of Oman. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby on the White House's demand.
We condemn this apparent seizure. The Iranian government should immediately release the ship and its crew. These provocative and unacceptable actions need to stop.
Former President Trump attends closing arguments at his New York civil fraud trial and is quickly shut down by the judge after raging against the state's attorney general and the judge himself. Trump saying afterwards,
"It's a witch hunt in the truest sense of the word. It's election interference."
The state has accused Trump, the Trump Organization, and several executives of orchestrating a scheme to inflate the value of Trump properties and his net worth to get more favorable terms on loans and insurance. Hunter Biden is arraigned in California on federal tax charges. CBS's Catherine Herridge was there.
I was sitting about 25 to 30 feet away from the president's son, who appeared somewhat tentative as he sat with his defense attorneys. The judge moved very quickly. He has set a trial date for June 20th. He asked Hunter Biden if he understood the serious nature of the charges against him. He said, "Yes, I do, Your Honor." And then he entered a plea of not guilty.
Hunter Biden is also charged in Delaware with lying on October 2018 on a federal form for gun purchasers. More bad weather is in store for large swaths of the country. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen says in the south,
areas from Lake Charles, Louisiana, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, on up through Alexandria, Shreveport, Texarkana, Little Rock, Greenville, Memphis, and areas across the lower Mississippi Valley, the chance for severe thunderstorms and tornadoes is very high.
The upper Midwest is preparing for several inches of new snow. The pace of inflation edged up in December. Overall prices increased 3.4% from a year ago. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
I'm not sure that we should have grave concern with this. This was widely expected. It did come in a little bit hotter, but this is really because of energy remaining a month-over-month issue.
Stocks closed mixed on Wall Street. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey,
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A task force created last summer is introducing 11 bills to fight human trafficking in Wisconsin. State Representative Jody Emerson is a co-chair of the Assembly Speaker's panel with a message for human trafficking victims.
The crime that you were a victim of does not define your life. It is one short chapter in the story that is you. And I think it is our job to make sure that we have the tools available to get them to a better and whole life.
It's not clear if any of the proposals will pass soon, since the current legislative session ends in a few weeks. More people in Wisconsin are enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid than ever before, more than a quarter of a million as of December 23rd. That's according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The previous record was reached in 2017. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks need a win. They've lost four of their last five games. Tonight, they host the Boston Celtics. The two teams have been battling for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. NFL, the Green Bay Packers had a long practice this afternoon, but veteran defensive back Jaire Alexander hurt again in practice yesterday, twisting his ankle, stepping on someone else's foot during a jog-through practice. He's day-to-day going into Sunday's game against the Cowboys in Dallas. In New England, the owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, announcing that after 24 years, Bill Belichick stepping down as head coach.
It's a very emotional day for the organization. You know, the end of an era that'll be hard to be replicated, I think, at least in my lifetime, if ever.
Belichick making this statement.
You know, think about the Patriots and I'll always be a Patriot, but at this time, we're gonna move on.
That's former Patriots head coach Bill Belichick with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warnings continue into Saturday. Snow developing late tonight, low in the upper 20s. Then snow showers Friday into Saturday, heavy at times, accumulations 4 to 8 inches. Strong wind gusts above 30 miles an hour will create blowing snow. Currently, it's 26.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge-watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me on a Thursday night before yet another supposed snowpocalypse. Although there's nothing happening outside right now. It could be summer if it were 50 degrees warmer and the snow we didn't get the other night wasn't still out there. Other than that, it's beautiful. So, we were supposed to get dumped on again, folks. And in just a couple minutes, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's Brittany Merlot, will be here to tell us what we can expect. We will ask her for her advice and how to guide us through this second round of snow. I'm talking like we live in Texas or Florida, like we don't know how to handle this. Although I did see Milwaukee was supposed to get 17 inches of snow and Chicago like 16 or something like that. That is insane. That would probably break records, I would imagine. Some records, at least on a particular day type record. But great to have you with me here for Nightlight. Got some fun guests tonight. As I mentioned, Brittany Merlot will be along in a couple of minutes. And then I'm very excited to welcome John Gerda, Milwaukee historian, to the show tonight. He's got a couple things that I watched in the last couple of days that are just really amazing. If you're a history buff, or if you're just a buff, or you kind of like history, but not necessarily in buff category, you'll still find this interesting. He knows a lot about the state of Wisconsin and primarily Milwaukee. So we're going to talk to John about that. And then later in the show, a good friend of mine and a very funny comedian, Mike Schmidt, will be here. He is also the host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast. And Mike has maybe some of the best stories that I've heard in the business, certainly of stand-up and show business, the business we call show. Taking your calls and texts tonight is Conrad. Conrad, how are you?
I'm doing great, Pete.
You ready with those nimble fingers, buddy, to answer those texts and put those calls through?
I am ready.
We got some great texts last night. Tonight's question, folks, it's pretty straightforward. I'm not trying to be snarky or anything. The Oscars are right around the corner, so I want to know, what's the best movie you've seen this year? Chime in, let me know. What did you see that you think is Oscar-worthy? There's a lot of good ones this year, and it's going to be hard to pick. But I'll share mine with you shortly. But if you want to chime in, if you want to call or text, it's 920-264-0606. The best way to text, though, or interact with the show is really the Civic Media app. It's very easy to use, easy to download. There's a little text icon underneath the show. Just text and fire away, and you can share your thoughts and be part of the show. I love when people, as it goes without saying, you know, but I'm going to say it anyway, always text. Text what you're watching, what you saw that you could recommend to other people. We have kind of an open discourse here as far as TV watching and inside activities. I am a fan of color television, and I make no bones about that. I am an inside guy. So that's our question. What is the best movie you've seen this year? 920-264-0606. Let Conrad know. We're broadcasting live statewide from the City Deck Landing Studios at WGBW in Green Bay. And I want to add, before we bring Brittany in, maybe we can talk to Brittany about this too. Today is National Milk Day. But I noticed, Conrad, you put that on the sheet. It doesn't say dairy milk. So if you're a fan of oat milk, I love oat milk. There's also almond milk, soy milk, coconut milk. We got more milk than we know what to do with. I tend to stay away from dairy, but if you got a milk opinion, you can even text that in. That's how open we are here. That's how much I want to hear from you guys. And it's also National Learn Your Name in Morse Code Day. Conrad has been doing that all day, practicing, and he will share what his name is in Morse code. It is also Amanda Pete's birthday today, the beautiful and talented Amanda Pete. I have not heard or seen her in a movie in a long time. I worked with Lauren Holly a number of years ago on a film, had the opportunity to direct Lauren. She's great. I know she and Amanda Pete were really good friends. Never met Amanda Pete. She turns 52 today. We're going to play a scene from one of her movies that she did with Bruce Willis called The Whole Nine Yards. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's the moment you've all been waiting for, and always a thrill for me to welcome this next guest. She is Civic Media. She was here the other night, and I called her Civic Media's chief meteorologist. I don't know that she's obtained the rank of chief yet, but we're going to bring her in. Maybe she's just like a corporal or a pawn. I don't know. She knows a lot about the weather, though. Brittany Merlot, how are you, Brittany?
Only you, Pete, can get me to laugh in the middle of a snowstorm about to hit the entire state.
Stop pretending like you are freaked out by a snowstorm. We know how much you are the self-titled snow queen. Exactly.
I am very excited.
You must be very happy. What are we looking at around the state? What's happening?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much happening. So pretty much the entire state is painted in pink weather headlines for winter storm warnings, right?
And Barbie. Okay.
And Barbie.
Okay.
I haven't seen that movie yet.
What?
We're going to talk about
that. We'll get to that. Yeah. Weather first.
Oh, goodness. But yeah, so widespread, everybody just expect 5 to 8 inches.
Okay.
It's going
to happen. Okay. Wow. All right.
No matter where you are, even if you're just in the winter storm watch, you're still going to get probably 5 to 8 inches.
No kidding.
Tomorrow.
Wow.
Yes. So the areas who are looking at a foot, maybe a few inches more than a foot, those possibilities are definitely going to be striking the same areas. So Richland Center in towards Madison, up to the Dells, Beaver Dam, inland a little bit of the lakeshore. Obviously, if you're right on the lake, you're probably not going to get the higher accumulations, but a little bit inland, that goes up into the Fox Valley, Green Bay, you could see a foot. It's going to get intense because
you were about to answer. No. I want to hear this. I love when you describe how it happens. So please elaborate. Seriously.
All right. So it's going to start overnight. It's going to start light. It's going to be temperatures hovering around the freezing mark once again for the system as it starts. Okay. So tomorrow morning, it's going to be a heavy, wet snow. Some places could mix in with a little bit of rain by the lake, Green Bay. You could see some rain again. But it's going to flip right over to the heavy, wet, accumulating snow. And winds are going to start to crank out of the north. And as they shift a little bit northwest, it's going to pull in much, much colder air, which is going to flip our snow from a heavy, wet, slushy snow as it starts to a light, fluffy one that's going to blow around by the evening.
So
now,
drifting.
Why does this matter?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yes,
exactly.
Oh,
well,
no.
First of all, the heavy, wet snow, you're going to want to get to that in the middle of the day. Get it off your driveway. Because these cold temperatures coming in, crashing in, if you don't clear that, that's going to be a block of ice for quite some time.
Oh,
so we're going to be shoveling in shifts. It's not going to be fun. I know. And then as the evening goes on, as we push into the colder temperatures, we drop into the 20s and into the teens, it'll be light and fluffy, but that accumulates even faster. So that's why some of these totals are so much higher than the last one. Because the cold's coming in. And it's going to hit us below zero for highs on Sunday and Monday.
Below zero for highs.
Yeah. So wind chill warnings.
Okay.
That's after the storm.
Boy, oh boy.
After the snow, the wind chill. So frostbite, a huge thing. So clear your driveway by Saturday morning. And nobody drive between 6 p.m. tomorrow and 6 a.m. on Saturday. That's the worst time.
Yeah. How many times have you heard the words hunker down in the last 24 hours? I hear a lot. Whenever we get a storm like that, that's what I hear. Kids want a snow day. Adults say, we got to hunker down. We got to get some groceries and hunker down. Like, this is the end of the universe, you know?
Oh my goodness.
So what's going to be the worst part of the state, Brittany? I thought Milwaukee was going to get like 18 inches or something like that. Is that still a thing?
It's still possible. Again, anywhere from Richland Center to Madison into Milwaukee and up through the Fox Valley, man. Dells are all looking at getting slammed.
That's crazy.
Northern Illinois. But I forgot to even mention, there are blizzard warnings out. Guess who's got the blizzard warnings?
Oh, I'm sure it's at my house. Who has the blizzard warnings?
Only your house. No.
That's
Bayfield and Ashland counties.
Oh, wow. Up north. Oh, that'll be beautiful, though, I bet.
Yeah. Winds are going to be gusting up to 50 miles per hour for them. Whiteout conditions are expected. Won't be able to see, won't be able to keep up with the roads up there. And we can have that same thing by Lake Michigan as well throughout the evening. Smokes. That's why I don't want you guys driving.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be in Green Bay for a week now.
Uh-oh.
Lots of things to do here. I like Green Bay. How long will it's going to get really cold, you said. How long will that last? When can we go back to El Nino weather that I was expecting this winter, Brittany?
Well, it's going to last definitely through the early next week. I'm going to check again.
Okay.
Nope. It still doesn't even want to rise up by next weekend.
Oh, come on.
No, we're stuck in it.
All right.
We're stuck in it.
So what are you going to do?
Winter's here.
You love this, though. You're not an inside girl. I'm an inside guy. You're an outdoor girl. What are you going to do? You going to adhere to your own recommendations and stay inside, or are you going to go out and make snow angels?
I am going to do both.
Okay. Just be careful.
I can't help it.
Yeah,
and I'll be skiing by Saturday afternoon.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. So you're
Did you hear? Snowmobile trails are opening in southern Wisconsin.
For the first time, right?
On Saturday.
Yeah.
Here we go.
No kidding. You're gonna get excited. In on that?
Brat, of course.
Brittany, thank you so much. Any tips? Any other tips for people? Like, you said not drive at all. How long can we expect to be kind of stuck inside?
Cooped up?
Yeah.
Well, you can get away with going around if you want. Tomorrow morning, you should be good to go. But by the afternoon and evening, hunker down. There's those words.
Order a pizza. Make those people work. No.
Exactly. No, don't do that. Cook some food. I hope you already went to the grocery store. But if you have to drive, have a winter weather emergency kit in your car, go slow, expect it to take forever. I don't know. Just get ready for the cold too.
Just be prepared.
Make sure that your hoses are not into your spigots or anything like that. You want to get them off your house. What else do you need to do?
Before the what I'm hearing is I don't have to water my lawn this weekend. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. You don't have to worry about that.
You're a great
sport. Got a couple months.
Thanks so much, Brittany. Appreciate it. As always, great job. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All
have a good night.
See you later. Happy snow angels. That's Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's chief meteorologist. So all of the state, Conrad, I hope you got some groceries. You're not going anywhere. So you're going to be stuck inside like the rest of us. That's depressing. But take it easy out there, folks. Hey, in just a few minutes, John Gert is going to join me and talk about a documentary he did and an article he put out that is fantastic. I'm Pete Schwabba. You are listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We can't hang around our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening, and it's usually.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ+ veteran, your memories are important too.
Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Broadcasting statewide from the City Deck Landing Studios here at WGBW. Our question tonight, it's pretty straightforward. What is the best movie you've seen this year? We got the Oscars around the corner. It can be an Oscar movie. It could be just a silly comedy, a rom-com. What have you seen that you really liked? 920-264-0606. I'm pretty excited. In the 9 o'clock hour, a friend of mine, Mike Schmidt, is going to be here. He hosts a podcast called The 40-Year-Old Boy. Last night, we had Jimmy Pardo on talking about his podcast. Jimmy was one of the first in the podcast world. He got it up and running. I didn't even know what a podcast was when he told me what he was doing, but his is immensely popular. And I would say Mike Schmidt's is right behind him. It's called The 40-Year-Old Boy, and Mike can talk forever, and he's funny, and he's insightful. He's had a really interesting life. He's going to be here a little later. In fact, I have a clip I want to play just to tease Mike's appearance later. This is one of his jokes. He talks about living in LA and going into various establishments where there are pictures all over the wall of actors. Not all of these actors are well known. And Mike talks about going into his dry cleaner and seeing the pictures on the wall. And here he is, Mike Schmidt. Go ahead, Conrad.
Well, wherever you live around here, I guarantee you, it's a lot like where I live. I'll tell you why. Go into any dry cleaner and go in and see all of the headshots on the wall of any actor you've never heard of in your life. Seriously. That's down in the valley, we've got it all over the place. We walk in. Is that fooling anybody into leaving their clothes? My wife and I walk in. She's like, hey, it's a little pricey. Pricey, let me tell you something. If it's good enough for Ryan Collins, good enough for me. She said, who's Ryan Collins? Who's Ryan Collins? He was only troublemaker number 4 in the Walker's Difficult Decision episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. He's got shirts.
That's Mike Schmidt. He'll be along in the 9 o'clock hour. And a big day for Amanda Peet. She turns 52. And I love when an actor has a birthday that's in a movie I liked or that made me laugh, because then I get to play the clips. And this is one of your favorite movies, isn't it, Conrad?
Yeah, because of Matthew Perry's in it, Bruce Willis, Amanda Peet. It's an all-star cast.
Now, Amanda Peet did appear nude in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure the clip you're playing is not her being nude.
It is not.
All right, so it's not inappropriate. It's not immoral. I don't condone that kind of behavior. I don't even like to be naked myself, ever. I try to avoid it at all costs. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play. This is Amanda Peet. She wants to be she wants Bruce Willis to teach her how to be a hitman in this scene. And she wants to be sort of his apprentice. And Matthew Perry is there. And he's very nervous, as he is throughout the movie. All right, go ahead, Conrad.
It is you. Mr. Tedeschi, you don't understand. I'm one of your biggest fans. I've been following your career since I was a kid. You're the reason I'm trying to get into the business.
What business would that be?
Contract killing. It's what I want to do, and if I could just have one afternoon of your time, I know that I could learn so much from you.
So come in.
What's all this?
You say you know this girl? She's my assistant. Did you know she was a hitter?
Actually, Mr. Tedeschi, I'm still a virgin. I haven't killed anyone yet. You know, professionally, Oz was supposed to be my first.
Excuse me?
His wife hired me.
What'd I tell you?
That was you?
I was supposed to make it look like an accident, so I went to work for him so I could, you know, familiarize myself with his habits.
Good.
Get to know him.
Smart.
Thanks. But then after I got to know him, I started to like him.
First mistake.
I know!
What'd you think, Conrad?
It's a great scene.
You
it's
love
a great
it.
Scene. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you thought at all about what your favorite movie is from 2024?
From 2023?
I'm sorry, from 2023.
I was like, we're not
so
that
excited.
Far.
Into it. I've seen all the movies now. I'm on to the next year.
So I think one that we've talked about before on the show was Air. It's such a good movie about Michael Jordan and you know, his shoe contract with Nike. I'm also a big superhero fan, DC, so I really like the Blue Beetle.
Huh, okay.
And I also watched a documentary, sports documentary, by the Amazon Prime movies, and it was called Kelsey, about Jason Kelsey's career right now. So
okay, that's a nice assortment. Look at those varied movie tastes you have there, young blood. Well done. I agree with you. I loved Air, and that's in my top five. And you know, it's not like it's a cinematic breakthrough. If you like sports and you like Michael Jordan, and that's kind of most of the population, it's just a really fun movie. And I think I mentioned this the other night as to how Nike got the contract and how they landed Michael Jordan to sell their shoe. They weren't really a basketball shoe. Everybody was going with Adidas and Converse, and Nike crushed it. And Matt Damon plays, I can't remember his name offhand, but he plays the guy who sort of courts the Jordans, gets them to come to Portland. And I love that you never see Michael Jordan. He's in the scenes, but his mom and dad do all the talking, primarily his mom. And Michael Jordan, you just kind of see him from the side or the back, but it's just a fun movie. And I have to say, I saw Anatomy of a Fall expecting to love it because I'd heard so much great stuff. And I did not love it. I liked it. It's interesting. It's a good courtroom drama. The kid is great. There's a kid who has, he had damage to his optic nerve and he has vision problems. And basically his father falls off the roof and dies and the wife is accused. It was good, but I think people in the Oscar season get so swept up in this stuff that they lose their minds. And I don't see that in that movie. Aesthetically, I didn't really even like it that much, but the acting was good. It was well-written. It was a nice movie. Could have been 30 minutes shorter, but, you know, I liked it. I have to say so far, I think Oppenheimer's going to win. I really did like Oppenheimer. And we'll see. I'm excited to talk about this with Mike Schmidt. I always like his takes on movies and TV, but I would have to say Oppenheimer, I don't know if it's my favorite, but I think it's going to win. I will share my favorite as the night goes on. I'm going to have a big unveiling later, forcing you people to stick with me throughout the course of the show and not to jump ship. So our question tonight is along the lines of what I was just talking about. What is the best movie you've seen this year? If you want to chime in about a TV show, that's fine too. If you want to wish Amanda Peet a happy birthday, you can even do that through our show because the clip we played had no nudity. We know what we're doing here. So, Conrad, you went to school in Milwaukee. Are you excited for John Goethe's appearance?
Sure, yeah, definitely. Love Milwaukee, so.
Yeah, it's a fun town, and it's got a ton of history. The funny thing is, and I'm going to ask John about this when he's here, most cities, if you dig into the history, it's interesting. I mean, I live in a pretty small community right now near the Marinette area, and it's awash in history. And John Goethe has made a living out of reporting on Milwaukee history and digging up things we didn't know and how the city came to be. And I'm going to ask him all of these questions. I'm going to overwhelm John with questions. He'll probably never come back, Conrad. So take a memo.
Take another one. All right.
Another memo. If I overdo it with John Goethe, you got to give me the sign.
Okay. Sounds all right? Good.
I don't want to overwhelm him. I want him to come back. So he's going to be here in just a couple minutes. Mike Schmidt coming up later. I want to know what your favorite movie is this year. 920-264-0606. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Everybody's got a hunger they can't resist. There's so much that you want. You deserve much more than this. If dreams came true, oh, wouldn't that be nice? This ain't no dream. We're living through tonight. You want it, you take it.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. After dozens of attacks on Red Sea shipping vessels, the U.S. and U.K. hit Houthi rebels in Yemen with airstrikes. A U.S. defense official says Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin monitored the operation in real time from the hospital. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland.
Well, clearly, the United States wanted this to be an international response, underscoring that this is not necessarily a conflict between the Houthis and the United States, or even the Houthis and Israel, though that is the stated reason why the Houthi leadership has said they're conducting these strikes, and that is in response to Israeli military activity in the Gaza Strip.
CBS's Nancy Cordes also reports.
It isn't just the Houthis that have been targeting commerce in the region. Just today, a Greek oil tanker that was on its way to Turkey was seized by Iran in the Gulf of Oman. And incidents like this are fueling fears that this conflict could escalate and eventually draw the U.S. into direct confrontation with Iran.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue says a plan to create state-run dispensaries for medical marijuana is a non-starter. Assembly Republicans included the dispensaries in their medical marijuana bill released Monday. Lemahue says it goes against his goal of shrinking state government. He says that he still sees good things in the bill and that a compromise can still be reached. A new report shows that 25 S&P 500 firms with the highest paid CEOs perform worse than average. Rosanna Landis Weaver is a shareholder advocate.
We look at a period of history when America was a leader in creating solid middle class jobs, but also industry growth. Companies plowed back any excess money into the company.
Shareholders can vote against CEO pay packages, and some companies have changed their practices. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warnings continue into Saturday. Snow developing late tonight, low in the upper 20s. Then snow showers Friday into Saturday, heavy at times, accumulations 4 to 8 inches. Strong wind gusts above 30 miles an hour will create blowing snow. Currently it's 26.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or are covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back. Oh, one texter likes the film Teacher's Lounge. I've not seen that. That's an interesting film, though, because it got like 95% positive reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, but like 33% of the audience liked it. So very curious to see that film. Thank you for chiming in. Okay, so I got to jump right into this because the term rock star gets thrown around a lot in today's society. And I don't think anybody is really worthy of being called a rock star, except actual rock stars. And my next guest, I'm very excited to welcome Milwaukee historian, John Gerda. John, welcome to Nightlight.
Glad to be here, Pete.
Yeah, great rocks to have you.
Very, very old, rocks. So,
I don't even know where to start with you because I've seen you on so many shows talking about the history of Milwaukee. And is it weird that people feel like they probably know you when you meet them?
No, not at all. You know, it's kind of, I have a level of recognition that's about right. You know, I can sit in a library or a coffee shop and nobody has a clue, you know, that what I do for a living. And then every so often I'll be out with the kids or something, the grandkids, and they say, hi, they like you on the Around the Corner show or read your stuff in the paper. So it's fine. Frank Zeidler was a hero of mine, Milwaukee mayor from 48 to 60, socialist. You know, I taught with him in the last years of his life, and he was always recognized. And his motto was "Just say thank you."
Oh, okay.
That was good advice.
Simple grace, absolutely. Yep. And people probably see you in a coffee shop or something and figure you're working on something. They don't want to bother you, I would imagine. So you shared with me. What do you call that? Is it an actual book or an article? This tour guide for Milwaukee. It's
a guidebook.
Guidebook.
It's,
okay.
84 pages. It's called John Gerda's Milwaukee, a self-guided historical tour. And it's based on tours I've been leading for the last 50 years or so. And part of it was, as I get more and more lame, or I guess spry is the word they use for my category. No, rolling around the front of a bus for 4 hours has lost some of its appeal. And also I realized that, you know, I've been sort of putting these things together, the route, the stories, the landmarks for 50 years, and it's just in my head. So getting it kind of into between two covers and out in the public domain was something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. And it came out early December.
So you said it's 88 pages. I think in the first paragraph, you say it takes a half a day to get through this tour of Milwaukee. If you use the tour book as a guide, I spent most of the day reading it and I probably got through 2/3 of it. How long did it take you to compile this? It's so fascinating if you live in Milwaukee or just are interested in the history of Milwaukee.
50 years.
Okay, fair enough.
And it's kind of, you know, I've been doing it for a long time, and the route has changed a bit as the city has changed. And it's kind of certainly it grew by accretion, you know, kind of things changed. For instance, the last tour I did, Bronzeville was not in it, which is the area around King Drive and North Avenue. And that's kind of the 21st century Bronzeville, which is was longtime Black entertainment district and has become just a real center of Black cultural life today. The Black Holocaust Museum, art galleries, restaurants. So there's a lot going on there. So the city's always changing. It's a phrase I love. You can never step into the same river twice. And by the same token, you can never tour the same city twice because it's always changing. It's always in the process of becoming something else. I love that about cities.
Pardon me?
I love that about cities.
Yeah.
The dynamism.
Well, the Milwaukee you've seen too over the years, I thought this was interesting. One of the most interesting things I read today from the tour book was I found the neighborhood of Pigsville on the West End really fascinating. And it just with the name and who it was named after, and they used to roast pigs and they didn't know really where the name came from. So they settled on Pigsville. Racially integrated, but also its own little village. Can you talk about what kind of a neighborhood that is today? And is it still the smallest in Milwaukee?
Oh, yeah. Have you been there, Pete? Have you seen it?
I have never been there. Well, I might have been through there accidentally because I was looking at the map. I used to do stand-up a lot, and I used to work at the Comedy Cafe, and sometimes the valet guys would take us on little tours of Milwaukee. They took us past Dahmer's Place and all these. So I think I've been through there, but I don't know anything about it.
Okay. It has 11 streets and 7 end in dead ends. Chances are, unless your valet was pretty Milwaukee literate.
I didn't say they were.
But it's sort of Milwaukee cred. You know, if you've been to Pecos, the Milwaukee cred. The other one is like Kashub's Park. If you've been there in Jones Island, that's another kind of a earmark of, you know, Milwaukee familiarity, Milwaukee literacy. Basically, it's the area around 39th and Blue Mound, just south of Miller Brewery, between Miller Brewery and I-94. So thousands go past it every single day of the week from the freeway and look down on this little, the alternate name is the Valley, look down the Valley. And a lot of people look down on it. You know, it was for a long time kind of a bit of a hard scrabble, kind of a working class neighborhood. And the story basically is that there was back in the 1890s when the first urban settlers arrived down there, there was on the west bank of the Menominee River, which flows right through the neighborhood, there was a farm that was specializing in pigs. And on the east side of the river were houses. So Pig's Town appears in print way back in 1894. And the persistent legend is that there was a man named George Pig, P-I-G-G,
Two G's,
who had
a
stagecoach stop on Blue Mound, long before Blue Mound was a big deal. It was just a country road, gravel road. And he apparently, he reportedly, assumedly gave his name to the neighborhood. I tried really hard, you know, to find a George Pig. U.S. Census records, well, Town of Wauwatosa tavern licenses, all those sorts of things. He didn't exist. So I think what happened is somebody in the Valley kind of invented a George Pig to give the neighbor just a little higher tone.
Maybe to prevent them from changing the name. We can't. George discovered it. His last name is Pig. We can't disrespect him like that.
And you'll still see the Journal Sentinel, their style book has two G's, you know, so that's despite the fact that it has no historical legitimacy, that's still a spelling in common parlance. But P-I-G is the correct spelling. Some of the theories that you alluded to, my favorite one was the Menominee River makes an abrupt, it's kind of a turn, a southward turn as it comes into the valley. And one theory was that during high water, the pigs would be washed off their farm fields in Wauwatosa. And when the river turned and the current slowed, they could kind of clamber up into the residential area. there are at least no published reports of that occurring.
Okay, so another thing I thought was really interesting, John, was or one of the things I wanted you to elaborate on, this kind of cracked me up while I was reading it. Anyone who spent time in Milwaukee or been through it all the time like me is familiar with the names Juno, Kilbourne, and Lapham. But there was a big brawl. I didn't know they had such an adversarial, Juno and Kilbourne had such an adversarial relationship that it erupted into like a big neighborhood against neighborhood fist fight. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. It's called the Great Bridge War of 1845. And Milwaukee's unusual, not so unusual. Other Wisconsin cities, including Janesville, had multiple founders and sort of rivals, you know, for control in the early years. But Milwaukee had three, Juno Town on the east side, Kilbourne Town on the west side, and Walker's Point on the south side. It was George Walker who was the founder of Milwaukee's south side. And very basically, Byron Kilbourne was not a guy who played well with others. You know, that would not have been the note in his report card. Juno was pretty laid back. He was a fur trader who became Milwaukee's first mayor. So it was not so much, I think it was probably personal on Kilbourne's side, not so much on Juno's. I know it was, he had sort of proxies. But what was going on there was the west side was trying to freeze out the east side by denying them bridges. So if they can't get out to the rest of the world, they won't grow. And that meant that Byron Kilbourne would be the king of Milwaukee. And that was his goal. He wanted to be the guy. George Walker was a far distant third. So basically what happened is back in 1840, the east side built one bridge across the river at Juno Avenue, ironically. We called Chestnut Street back then. They built two more downstream, and the West Siders in 1845, reasoning that what touched their property, their side, was theirs to do with as they wished, they took axes and hatchets and liberated their end of the Chestnut Street Bridge, floated downstream, blocked traffic going north on the river, and denied the East Siders access to the rest of the world. The East Siders react by cutting off the West Side's bridges to the south. So for a while, no one could get anywhere into or through Milwaukee. as what they finally realized that it was stupid. You know, there was no Chamber of Commerce, but they were scaring people away. They were scaring settlers away, and that was what they were trying to attract back in 1845. So they buried the hatchet on January 31st, 1846, and Milwaukee became the first city in what was then Wisconsin Territory with a population of 10,000.
And on the heels of a full-blown Donnybrook. That's so great. My guest is John Goethe. He is the Milwaukee historian. John, this fascinated me. When I was a kid, I loved reading about cities, and I loved looking at pictures of skylines. I could go to movies and say, oh, that's Boston, that's Chicago, that's wherever. But I always... Pardon me?
Where are you from?
I spent the first 12 years of my life in Chicago, in the city, and then we moved up to Marinette when I was in junior high. And so I'm a man without a home, John. When I'm there, I'm a cheesehead. And when I'm here, I'm a fib. You know, I kind of get a hard time from both sides. So
who's your football team?
They're not in the playoffs. I'll put it that way. Listen, that's you've got right. bragging rights on all this stuff tonight, John. I totally bow to you.
All right.
But we would come up. My grandparents lived in Milwaukee. My folks went to Marquette. And every time we came up through the city, I would say Milwaukee doesn't have a lot of huge, tall skyscrapers. But here, this is from your book. The skyline drops off precipitously west of 6th Street, the start of a low-rise zone that extends for miles. For a metro area of 1.6 million people, Milwaukee does not have an especially imposing downtown. One explanation is that there were multiple downtowns in the residential neighborhoods, robust commercial quarters that served the respective regions of the city. That makes total sense, because when I would do stand up in Milwaukee, I was blown away by how beautiful the neighborhoods are. So are those commerce centers still there? And will the skyline have a resurgence somehow? I thought they were building a new tallest building a few years ago.
The downtowns are still there. King Drive for the north side, which was the old German, now the African-American area. Mitchell Street was the Polish Grand Avenue, as they called it. And you have other sort of streetcar-oriented shopping centers like Valeet, but Mitchell and Third were the big ones. They're still there, but what's happened obviously is in American commerce, you know, the neighborhood shopping districts have lost scale and customers to the big boxes and the malls, and now they're losing customers to online. So it's certainly the retail that environment is very dynamic. But in the case of Milwaukee, and you look at it, the skyline of Mitchell Street or Third King is pretty much what you'd see in Marinette or Watertown. So it's kind of a small cities or smaller cities business district. And that's part of what I think is still the charm of those neighborhoods. Another reason for Milwaukee's relatively modest downtown, you look at the tallest building in Milwaukee, which is the tallest building in Wisconsin, is the U.S. Bank Center, 601 feet. That would get lost in downtown Chicago. You know, it would not be on the architectural tour. and Chicago is one reason for that scale. So when you had regional organizations or institutions looking for a place in the Midwest, Chicago was the obvious location, not Milwaukee. So the Federal Reserve or Sears, or it's kind of the larger regional headquarters, Chicago kind of attracted those. So Milwaukee, relatively speaking, had a less robust wholesale home office kind of headquarters presence than Chicago did, and that had an impact on the landscape. And you have some a bit anomalous, Northwestern Mutual, who does have the second tallest building on the skyline now. The U.S. Bank is still the first.
But that's relatively new, right? Wasn't that supposed to be? Weren't they going to build that to make that the tallest?
No, they're smart. You know, they weren't going to do something just to say mine's bigger than yours,
like they do in Chicago.
Like or did. So they knew what their needs were. So they built that, they call it Tower and Commons, back in 2017 for their business.
Yeah. John, we have to do a very quick break. And then I want to ask you, I have another Chicago question regarding green space, which I found really interesting too. Can you stick around just for a minute?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I'm talking with John Goethe. He's coming back. We'll be right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You know that it would be untrue. Welcome back to Nightlight. You know that I would be alive. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, bottom of the hour, Mike Schmidt, very funny comedian, will be here, and we will talk about his podcast, The 40-Year-Old Boy. Right now, I'm talking with John Gerda about Milwaukee history, and I have a couple. John, I'm going to pivot in just a second to your, because I watched a lot of your documentary, City Built on Water, so I have questions for that too. But right before the break, we talked about, you had a passage in your tour guide that said Milwaukee has 15,000 more, or five times more green space per capita than Chicago. And I remember Chicago was called the city in a garden. It had all these nicknames about its great park system and trees. That floored me. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's a current figure. So 15,000 acres. So that's, we're comparing city and city, you know, so the forest preserves, you know, in Metro Chicago skew that.
Right.
But Chicago's got great parks, certainly. The Boulevard system is wonderful. Grant Park on the lakefront is a real magnet. But in terms of, you know, the neighborhood parks, you know, Milwaukee has probably, and certainly it's adjusting for scale, you know, has a more robust, you know, kind of presence in the neighborhoods. And there was a real felt desire on the part of the socialists, especially a guy named Charles B. Whitnell, for whom the largest park in Milwaukee is named, a socialist planner. And his goal was to have everybody live within walking distance of a park. And they got pretty close. So he had a master plan back in 1923, and it used the water courses, creeks, and the lakefront and the rivers, and they were the trellis on which he hung, you know, kind of this this master plan of parks. And if you look at that map from 1923 and look at a map of Milwaukee County Parks in 2024, it's pretty close. You know, the correspondence is really something. And Milwaukee, you know, sometimes this is also a Chicago trait. You know, we tend to look down at our shoes a bit because, you know, Chicago is the big one. so we got this huge metropolis just 90 miles south of us. But you know, the fact that we have just a world-class park system, it's fraying. We need to reinvest, but it really is a world-class park system. And that is absolutely a legacy of the socialists who governed Milwaukee for most of the years between 1910 and 1960.
Will they fix it? Do you have your finger on the pulse of the political situation there regarding the parks?
Deferred maintenance. No one knows the exact figure, but deferred maintenance is upwards of $300 million. And that's everything from the parkways, you know, the actual paving to the domes, which are, you know, kind of in some trouble.
Yeah.
So there are plans, there are discussions. And now, you know, we've got the sales tax, you know, just starting the first of the year. So there should be some more dependable funding for the non-statutory necessities, you know, and I think they're a necessity, but
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
The law doesn't say so. The law says courts and jail and those sorts of things. Right. So I think there's some hope on the horizon, but it certainly is it's a hill to climb.
My guest is John Gerda, Milwaukee historian. He is talking about a tour guide book he put out. Pardon me, John, where can people see what we're talking about here? Because you shared a PDF with me. Is there somewhere they can go online and just look at all the stuff we're talking about?
Sure, not entirely online, but you can get it at the publisher is the Milwaukee County Historical Society. They publish the booklet. I don't call it a book. It's a guidebook, I guess.
Guidebook,
You can go to my website, johngerda.com, and there's a tab there on publications, and there's actually a button you can hit to buy now. So I'm not quite Amazon, but you know you can get there from here. $24.95. It's nicely. You've only seen the PDFP, but it's got a metal ring, sort of a coil binding, so you can it lies flat.
Oh, nice.
It's like something very very user friendly. So if you're a biker, you can put it in a pannier and kind of pull over at whatever the stops are and kind of take time to reconnoiter.
Absolutely, pick it up. You just get lost in it. And we have a question, John. I have a similar question. Not a similar question, but I remember reading about this. This is from the 608, I think, Conrad.
Andrew from Verona.
Andrew from Verona wants to know, I went to Marquette U for undergrad. Any piece of trivia or fun historical fact that would be surprising about campus faculty Jesuits neighborhood?
Yeah, that was a neighborhood called Torrey Hill. And you think of Jesu as being the campus church today? That was an Irish parish. That's how it began, back in, 1893. And there's actually Torrey Hill, and no one knows where that name came from. Torrey's a conservative politician in England. So why the name an Irish neighbor, that is anyone's guess.
They're trying to lure him.
But the law school, was a Torrey Hill, kind of a commons, and one of the streets right there around the law school on the southeast corner of campus is still called Torrey Hill. But I call the Marquette Interchange the biggest gravestone in Milwaukee because it rests right on top of that neighborhood. And it extended all to what is now the Marquette campus south of Grand Avenue, which is now Wisconsin Avenue. And back in the day, 1881 is when the college was founded, but they began over on that. That's one piece of trivia for the Golden Eagles. The Hilltoppers was the name of the team, going back for generations. And where the Hilltop name came from, they began as Marquette Academy over around 10th and State, just north of the courthouse. And if you can see that, visualize that landscape of Milwaukee, the hill rises there, kind of going west.
Yeah.
Up around 10th and State. So the academy was there. So they were the Hilltop. They were the Hilltoppers. Then they moved, I think in 1907, they moved to Grand Avenue and Johnston Hall, which is the building, it's not communications. The J School's there, Journalism School's there. But it's just the building to the east of Jesu, that was the whole campus. That was the entire campus.
Wow.
Now it's 100 acres. So it's certainly grown.
Whoa.
And Marquette's they're a great addition to Milwaukee. And sort of I talk about it in the book. They're part of the brain gain of Milwaukee. I have friends, good friends who graduated from Marquette and they came from someplace else and stayed.
Jeez. John, are you ever tempted just to make stuff up knowing that no one will ever question it?
No, that's kind of a bad strategy for you, a reputation.
Yeah, the internet ended that little strategy, I guess.
Right. I try not to make it up.
Okay, well, good to know.
I've also discovered, Pete, it's kind of, I have no privileged knowledge, is stuff anybody can do. But people think you know everything if you know about 15% more than they do.
Isn't that funny?
I think that's kind of a rough.
I would, a lot more than I do. And I would love to keep you if you can hang for one more segment, John. I have stuff I want to talk to you about your documentary, The City Built on Water, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Can you hang just for a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right. This is John Gerda. This is really fun. Talking Milwaukee history. Pick up his guidebook at johngerda.com. We will be right back with more John Gerda. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there, but probably alone, solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a past.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off.
Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.